Now for the scripture reading for today, for this morning's service, chapter 4 of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, and page 1253 in your Scofield Bible. Okay, starting with verse 20, reading through verse 26. We'll read these verses responsively, starting with verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now the text verse, let's read verse 26 ready. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for our freedom to own copies of it. Thank you for your word. It's eternal. And certainly, you have something to say to us today, as you do every day. But speak especially, we pray this morning, through our preacher. Help our hearts to truly be hungry, our minds to be alert. Fill us, we pray, with thy spirit, and grant us a good day at the church today, in Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I want you to listen to me very carefully. I do not intend to use any humor this morning, unless I happen to mention the bass section of the choir. But I have no intention this morning of using humor. I'd like to ask you, please, do not take notes while I preach. This is not a classroom, it's a preaching service. I'll ask you, please, just to put your pens and pencils up and let me talk to you. You'll not be able to listen to what I say and write down what I say at the same time. I want to speak to you on a sermon I prepared 2.5 years ago. I have not preached it since then. I prepared it in Hawaii. I also prepared my resignation so I could stay there, too, but I didn't send it in, but I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the world's most beautiful sunset. Mrs. Hiles and I were sitting in the Bay Club restaurant in Maui. It is a restaurant that has one side that is open toward the ocean. You actually could almost flip a coin into the ocean, and it faces the west. And we were there just when the sun was setting. And I said to myself, that must be the most beautiful sunset I've ever seen. And I went back to the room, and sometime in the next 24 hours, I sat down and I wrote down most of the words that I'm going to give you today. It'll not be a lengthy message, and it's one that I hope that you'll listen to very, very carefully. I read my text for you. You'll not turn to it, but I read it again. You read it a while ago. Be ye angry and sin not. And here's my text. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I want to speak today on the world's prettiest sunset. Our Heavenly Father, I do not have the ability, physical, mental, or emotional, to satisfy the needs of all these people. But I believe I'm touching a subject this morning that is the need of all of us. I pray you to help me as I speak. May it be a life-changing message for some, a life-enriching message for others, and a message to aid each of us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I have seen the sunset on Hawaii's Maui. I don't think I've ever seen anything more beautiful. It was painted by God, framed by palm trees, and was winking through innocent infant clouds, casting an unlimited rainbow across the sea. I have seen the sun set behind Alaskan glaciers while wearing a sweater of blue, and I thought that must be the prettiest sunset I've ever seen. I've seen the sunset behind the glistening golden domes of a nervous Kremlin in Russia, and I thought that must be the prettiest sunset I've ever seen. I've seen a weary sunset on Atlantic's only to soon become a sunrise on the Pacific, for the sunset and the sunrise are really one and the same. As I've seen the sunset on the Atlantic Ocean, from the deck of a ship, I thought that must be the prettiest sunset I've ever seen. Or as I've seen the sun set as I was looking out the window of an airplane flying westward toward Japan, I thought that must be the prettiest sunset I've ever seen. I've seen the sun seem to refuse to set as I flew westward and go to bed early as I flew toward Europe. I've seen the sun drown in the Mediterranean Sea, and I've seen it crash into the Rocky Mountains. I've seen the sun buried in Horizon's graveyard amidst mountainous tombstones carried by cloudy pallbearers. I've seen the sun go to bed in an English fog with a blush of embarrassment, tiptoeing toward its dormitory, feeling it had spent a day of failure. I've seen the sun set on an Arizona desert when a bride of sapphire married a tent of topaz and a chapel of emerald. I've traveled a lot of the world. I've seen a lot of sunsets. I've seen the sunset playing peekaboo through playful clouds before taking its evening bath in the sea. I've seen a Caribbean sunset where the sun transforms overweight clouds into heavenly botanical gardens. I've seen summer sunsets where the sun stays up too late, and winter sunset where it goes to bed before curfew. I've seen the sunset on the Texas plains where it seems to fall off a cactus table. I've seen a Fairbanks sunset where the sun stayed in bed after an early afternoon nap and overslept to 11 o'clock the next morning. I've seen the sun fall behind London's Westminster Abbey. I've seen it set beside Jerusalem's Calvary, Egypt's pyramids and Sphinx, Rome's Colosseum, the Vatican's Sistine Chapel, Athens' Parthenon, Hiroshima's devastation. I've seen it set behind the Berlin Wall. I've seen a lot of sunsets, and all of these sunsets that I've seen would certainly rival each other for the most beautiful sunset I've ever seen. But you say, Brother Hiles, all of your travels northeast, south, and west, flying for many years over 200,000 miles a year on jet planes, what is the most beautiful sunset that you ever saw? Well, one was in Greenville, Texas, where I asked forgiveness from a deacon with whom I had quarreled. The chairman of my board of deacons in Texas with whom I had quarreled a bit, and for several years I'd had something in my heart against him. So one night I was preaching in the Lamar Baptist Church in Greenville, Texas, and looked up and saw that deacon sitting in the middle of the building, about the fourth row back. And I said, "Dear God, if you let me live till this service is over, I'll make it right with that deacon." When the service ended, I walked back to make it right with him, and he walked up to make it right with me during the closing prayer. And we accidentally bumped into each other over in the corner as we were going to make it right with each other. I looked up at him and I said the words, he was a big fellow, about 6'4", and I said the words that are hard to say. I said, "Mr. Wiggs, I'm sorry." And he said to me, "Preacher, I'm sorry." And I said, "My brother, it was my fault. I was pastor of the church. I shouldn't have become offended at you." He said, "But pastor, you were a young man, and you had a heavy load to carry, a big building program, and I should have been more thoughtful, and I shouldn't have been sharp with you." And there we argued over whose fault it was while the angels delighted in heaven. Never saw a more beautiful sunset than the one the next evening. I could sing nothing between my soul and the Savior, nor of this world's delusive goods. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, and there's nothing between. What's the most beautiful sunset you ever saw? One was in 1960. When I came to this church on a Wednesday night and apologized for a ruthless attack I'd made the Sunday night before. We'd been in a battle, heavy battle. We'd had a vote, and the vote had carried, and our side had won the vote, and others had left the church and started another church, and I thought the battle was over. I was walking down the alley back here, and the deacon walked up to me, a good man, but he said to me, "The battle isn't over as far as I'm concerned." I was just about to walk in the pulpit, and I was immature at the time as a young preacher. And I walked to the pulpit, and I spent the entire sermon preaching to that one man. The next Wednesday night, I stood behind this same pulpit of wood, and I said those same words, "I'm sorry." Never saw a prettier sunset than the one that sat. Bible said, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." And the most beautiful sunset you'll ever see is the sun that sets when you have it, when you're right with everybody. And you have nothing against anybody. And you'd speak to anybody in the world that you saw. And you'd feed anybody that was hungry. And you have no enemies. And you have no revenge. And you have no vengeance. And you can say nothing between. And by the way, you cannot have anything between you and somebody else and not have some, and have it clear between you and the Savior. Of all the sunsets I've seen, what's the most beautiful sunset? Well, one was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. At a home for aged people owned by the American Baptist Convention, when I knelt with a lady almost 100 years of age who had been my bitter enemy when I came here 38 and a half years ago. And for several years she'd been my enemy. And her son-in-law was dying with cancer in Arizona and wrote me a letter. And he said, "Dear Pastor, you and I love each other, and I love you. And I want my mother-in-law to love you like I love you before I die." And I made a special trip to Fort Wayne, Indiana, went up to the apartment of that lady, almost 100 years of age. She was just as clear-minded as she could be. She came to the door and saw me and started to slam the door. I said, "Hold it, ma'am." I said, "Please, I've come to apologize. I've come to make it right." Well, you say, "Preacher, was it her fault?" Well, I can truthfully say that everybody that's ever been against me, it's been their fault. I've been married 38 and a half years. Miss Howes and I, we've had a few tiffs in our lifetime, but I promise it's always been her fault. How many of you men have found the same thing to be true? It's amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing. But but she invited me in very abruptly, and I said, "Ma'am, I've come to tell you I'm sorry, and I want to make it right." I showed her the letter from her son-in-law that said, "I love you, Pastor." And by the way, it was the same man I'd attacked years ago and had to apologize for. He and I became dear friends. And I showed the letter, and she read it, and tears moistened her eyes, and the two of us knelt there, and I asked God to forgive me anything I had in my heart, and she asked God to forgive her. And I said, "I want to hold my hand out. If you'll be my friend, would you take my hand?" And I felt that hand, wrinkled hand, almost 100 years old, reach out and grab my hand. And I'll tell you, as I drove back, the sun was setting. What a beautiful sunset it was. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Who's your enemy this morning? Who is it that you won't speak to? Who is it you'd like to hurt? Who is it you'd like to get vengeance to? I'm simply saying you'll never see a prettier sunset than the one that you see after you made it right with everybody. Of all the sunsets I've seen, which is the most beautiful? One was in Marshall, Texas, after I had asked forgiveness from a member to whom I had been abrupt, and a mistake that I had made, and a statement I had made to one of my members, and I went to the house and apologized to her and her husband. And she apologized to me. The sunset was beautiful. What's the most beautiful sunset you ever saw? One was in Hammond after I had complained bitterly about bad service I'd received from a company, and I sought forgiveness. Now let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I refuse to go to bed at night rehearsing a way I will seek revenge. I refuse to go to bed at night pursuing an enemy with mental plots.
I refuse to go to bed at night planning a new way to conquer or corner my adversary. I refuse to go to bed at night fantasizing my vengeance. Now you listen to me. If my Savior can forgive me for what I've done against him, I can forgive anybody what they've done against me.
A little boy forgave and said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debt against us." John Lavater forgave and said, "He who has not forgiven an enemy has never yet tasted one of the sublimest joys of life." I want to tell you something. Until you've forgiven somebody when they're wrong and you're right, and you have something in your heart against them, you've never tasted heavenly manna like you'll feel and taste when you forgive.
When you say, "He did it against me," my Bible said, "If thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift at the altar and go and reconcile to thy brother." Hey, the weakest one is not going to seek forgiveness. God said the one who's right should seek reconciliation.
John Paul Richter forgave and said, "Humanity is never so beautiful as when forgiving another." Mark Twain forgave and said, "Forgiveness is the fragrance," and one of my favorite statements, forgiveness is the fragrance the violet leaves on the heel that has crushed it." Frederick Robertson forgave and said, "We win by tenderness, we conquer by forgiveness." Lawrence Stern forgave and said, "Only the brave know how to forgive. It's the most refined pitch of virtue that human nature can arrive at." Alice Carey forgave and said, "Nothing in this lost and ruined world bears the meek impression of the Son of God so surely as forgiveness." Edwin Chapin forgave and said, "Never does the human soul grow so strong and noble as when it foregoes revenge and dares to forgive an iniquity." Charles Dickens said, "I forgive you. I do. I do. I do. I forgive you. I do. And you cannot help yourself." One of the most amazing days of my life I spent in a restaurant in Atlanta, Georgia. I was having a meal. I forget whether it's breakfast or lunch or dinner. I don't know which one. I was having a meal with an older person older than I am. He looked at me and he said, "Dr. Hiles, I did something last week." I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I forgave a man." I said, "What for?" Get this. He said, "He killed my mother." I said, "Say that again." He said, "I forgave a man. I've had bitterness against him for years, but last week I forgave a man who killed my mother." And he said, "I've never felt so good in my life." I was preaching. I guess the nearest thing I ever saw to real revival was when I was a young preacher. I was preaching at the Howard Payne College in Brownwood, Texas. A strange thing about it, it's a Southern Baptist school, and the administration would never have invited me, but the football team liked me. The star football player had heard me preach and gotten saved under my preaching, and he brought the entire football team at this college, university, to hear me preach. And they had a charge of chapel at the university, and they invited me to come and preach on chapel at Howard Penn University. That night, they had gotten a big tabernacle that seated about 1,000 people, and were having a service that night for all the student body that could come. Under the tabernacle. It was packed and jammed, and folks were standing around the sides. I preached that night. I didn't preach on forgiveness. I just preached. Invitation time came. The song leader was standing over here. I was behind the pulpit. He was standing over here leading the singing. And about 2 or 3 stanzas into the invitation, he quit leading the singing. And he walked back to the corner on the other side of that tabernacle and put his arm around a man back there, and the two of them started running down to the altar.
I found out later that they'd been enemies, and they had led a crusade that had divided that campus into two factions. They got right with God. All of a sudden, the pianist over here quit playing the piano. She walked back in the back and put her arms around a young lady. And they came down to the altar, and they knelt in the altar and got right with each other. And then all heaven broke loose, and people started going all over that big tabernacle and making it right with each other. Faculty members made it right with each other, and students made it right with each other, and students made it right with faculty members, and administrators made it right with faculty members, and students made it right with administrators. And for 3 solid hours, we sang no songs. We just watched everybody get right with each other. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what revival is. When God's people get right with each other. While you say, Brother Hiles, somebody did so and so, I don't care what somebody did against you. God said, forgive him. And I love that statement I said a while ago. It is the fragrance that's left on the heel that crushed the flower. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever it is that you've got against anybody, anybody's got against you, make it right with them. Of course, years ago, in Europe, there was a grave, tombstone. And on that tombstone was one word, no name, no birth date, no death date, one word, forgiven. Forgiven. Who knows what it meant? Was it placed there by someone who had died that was forgiving someone else? I don't know. Or was it placed there by someone who had forgiven the one who died? I don't know. Or was it placed there by the one who died who had been saying he's forgiven by Jesus? I don't know. But on that tombstone was written one word, forgiven. Let me take you to a tombstone. It's made of a cross of wood. The Savior died on it. And on that tombstone, there's one word, forgiven. I said forgiven. That means every sin you've committed can be forgiven. Because on the tombstone of Calvary, the word forgiven. Drunkard, you can be forgiven. Harlot, you can be forgiven. Fallen person, you can be forgiven. Bitter person, you can be forgiven. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. You can walk out the service today forgiven if you'll come to Calvary. That's all you got to do. And of course, the best place to look as the great example of what I'm talking about this morning is Calvary. They had just wrongly indicted him. Judas Iscariot had placed the kiss of betrayal upon his brow and used an act of endearment as an act of rebellion, insurrection. The soldiers had come, had taken him away. They had taken him to the high priest, Annas. And then to Caiaphas, then to Pilate. And Pilate knew he was innocent and declared him innocent, but was afraid to let him go free. Pilate ordered him to be beaten. Soldiers took the cat of nine tails and beat him on the back. Isaiah said you couldn't even tell he was a human being. He was beaten beyond recognition. He was taken to Herod and back to Pilate, and then released to the courts to be tried, indicted wrongfully, tried wrongfully, convicted wrongfully, crucified wrongfully. They took that tree and cut it down and made a cross of that tree, and they put our Savior, that cross, on the ground and put our Savior on that cross and drove nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And he cast a spear in his side and placed a crown of thorns upon his brow. And he who knew no sin became sin. And he was perfect, died for imperfect people like you and like me. And then he's going to speak. Shh. 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 Listen carefully. His mouth is opening. This is Calvary. Calvary.
into which all the streams of history pour. Calvary, where all the rivers of prophecy begin. This is Calvary, where justification, sanctification, all of these great doctrines of truth mix and mingle in one great recipe that ends in love. This is Calvary. Shh. He's going to speak. After a while, he's going to say, I thirst. But that's not the first thing he said. After a while, he's going to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But that's not the first thing he said. After a while, he's going to say, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But that's not the first thing he said. After a while, he's going to say, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. But that's not the first thing he said. After a while, he's going to say, it is finished. But that's not the first thing he said. After a while, he's going to say, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But that's not the first thing he said. Hallelujah! Glory to God! The first thing he said was, forgive them! Forgive whom? Forgive Judas Iscariot, if he were to come back and ask forgiveness. Forgive whom? Forgive those soldiers that arrested him. Forgive whom? Forgive Caiaphas, the priest. Forgive whom? Forgive Annas, who delivered him to Pilate. Forgive whom? Forgive Pilate, who washed his hands of his blood as if he could. Forgive whom? Forgive Herod. Forgive whom? Forgive Barabbas. Forgive whom? Forgive the thief dying beside him. Forgive whom? Forgive the soldiers that beat his hands and his feet with nails and crucified him. Forgive anybody who will come and seek forgiveness. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive. They know not what they do. One of these days, you're going to see a little child on the street who's hungry. And you're going to buy him a hamburger and a cold drink, some french fries. And you're going to be Christ-like. One of these days, you're going to see an aged person in the rest home. And you're going to take a gift of some kind to that aged person in the rest home. And when you do, you'll be Christ-like. One of these days, you're going to take one of these street people up here, one of these mission men, and you're going to buy them a new suit of clothes. And you'll be Christ-like. But you'll never be as Christ-like as you are or will be when you say, Father, forgive. Father, forgive. Father, forgive. That's the question this morning. I'm closing. Who is it you're thinking about right now? Who is it on your mind right now? Who's that enemy you have? Who's that one you've tried to get revenge against? Who is it? Father, forgive. Mrs. Howes and I sat there, looked at that gorgeous sunset from the Bay Club restaurant. The sun just so beautifully and slowly cast its rays across the ocean. We sat there and said, that must be the most beautiful sunset. Or was it the time when I saw the domes of the Kremlin in Moscow, those many golden domes reflect the sun as the sun said goodbye in the west? Or was it the time when I sat in Alaska's glacier near them and watched the sun go down behind the glaciers? It looked like that the sun was wearing a blue coat and a white coat and a blue coat and a white coat and a blue coat and a white coat. No, I'll tell you when it was. The most beautiful sunset was when I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Wouldn't you like to enjoy the sunset tonight? Wouldn't you like to see the sun? Wouldn't you like to see the sun today? Most beautiful sunset I ever saw in Hammond was the only one I ever saw in Hammond 38 years ago. But wouldn't you like tonight when you go to bed to say, nothing between my soul and the Savior? I'll never forget that night in Greenville, Texas. After I'd made it right with that deacon, I went back to my room and got up on the bed, took my shoes off, and made a trampoline out of the bed.
And way into the night, I jumped up and down like I was on a trampoline, singing, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Naught of this world's elusive good. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. Let nothing between." Would you bow your heads, please?